You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to mature in your faith. That's right, we're talking to Gen Z. And this morning, I want to talk to you guys about how to tame the tongue. I want to address Gen Z men, and I want to let you guys know that English is a dynamic language, constantly evolving, and understanding English slang, especially for you Gen Z guys, can be a little bit intimidating, and it can also be a lot of fun. Don't be afraid. By understanding Gen Z slang, you can do a better job communicating with your friends. In fact, let me give you 10 Gen Z slang terms. Now, I know if you're a listener to Way of Manhood, I'm sure you are familiar with Gen Z language. I'm still trying to familiarize myself. My kids tell me, don't do it, Dad. You don't know how to use these words, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. Here's 10 Gen Z slang terms. Let's see how you do. Are you ready? Number one, slay. It means to succeed or dominate. The meaning to perform exceptionally well or achieve something impressive. Here's an example. She totally slayed her presentation in front of the board members. There you go, the word slay, right? The second one, lit, exciting or awesome, meaning to describe something exciting, fun, or an enjoyable activity. Here's an example of how to use it in a sentence. This party is lit. The music is great and everyone is having a good time. All right, be careful because you remember you're Christian Gen Z out there. So if you're going to use lit, make sure it's done in a Christian way. All right, number three, bet, sure or agreement, meaning similar to okay and is used to express an agreement or to show confirmation. Example, you want to grab pizza after class? Bet. All right. I mean, sure thing. I agree. Let's grab some pizza. All right. Number four, bop. It's a catchy song, meaning to describe a song that's fun, catchy, and makes you want to dance. Example, this new song, Be My Favorite Artist, and is such a bop, I can't stop listening to it. All right. It's a new song. It's my favorite artist. I can't stop listening to it. It's a bop. How about this one? Number five, mood. Current emotional state, relatable to a situation, meaning to express your current emotional state and describe a relatable situation. Example, feeling stressed about exams, big mood. There you go, big mood. All right, number six, salty, means bitter or to be mildly upset. The meaning is to describe a state of mind of a person who is bitter, annoyed, or a little bit upset. Example, I lost the game to my friend. That's why I'm just a little salty about it. Number seven, snatched, looking flawless or amazing, meaning to describe someone or something that looks incredibly stylish, put together, and amazing. Example, his outfit for the party was snatched. Everyone was talking about it. Guys, that's what you need to do. You need to wear that outfit that is snatched. All right, number eight, flex, to boast or show off. Meaning to brag about, to show off something, often possessions, skills, or achievements. Example, he was flexing his new car on social media all day. Number nine, T, that's gossip or information, meaning Gen Z slang for gossip, juicy information, or secrets. Example, spill the tea. What happened in the class? And then number 10, shook. Deeply surprised, stunned, meaning to express a big surprise or shock, often in a negative way. Example, I was shook when I saw my final score in the English exam. All right, that does it. You guys are now experts on using Gen Z language. And so now that we've been thoroughly inundated with the details of the latest, hottest Gen Z lingo. I'm just talking to you today about taming the tongue. You could tell a lot about a person by how they talk. You could tell if they're part of Gen Z or some older generation like the millennials or like the older generation of the boomers by how they talk, right? There's just certain words that kind of clue in what generation you're in. And when we talk about communication biblically, you can tell a lot about a person about the language that they use by just examining their tongue. I mean, let me tell you this, you can really make a spiritual diagnosis by examining somebody's speech. You can diagnose in many ways their spiritual health. I mean, one person said the tongue is you in a unique way. It is a tattletale that tells on the heart and discloses the real person. Or Jesus said it this way, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, Gen Z men, this means whatever you've been meditating on, whatever you've been thinking about, that's kind of what comes out of your mouth. Right? What we think about and the kind of things that interest us are the things that we talk about. So you can pretty much diagnose a person's spiritual maturity by how they talk. I mean, nowhere is the relationship between your faith and your works more evident than in your speech. And I'm saying that way because in the book of James, we're talking a lot about a righteous heart, which can be manifested by righteous speech. It's kind of like what James said in James chapter 1. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So in other words, your religion or what you believe about God and his word ought to affect how you talk. And so today, I want to do a part one with you guys about how to tame the tongue. Let me start off by giving you one of three truths about taming the tongue so that you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, diagnose your own heart and then speak in a way that honors God. So let's start off with verses 1 and 2 of James chapter 3, and I want to talk to you about how teaching the word is a sobering responsibility. I mean, listen to what James 3 verses 1 and 2 says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Now that's what it says in James 3, 1 through 2. If you remember at the end of James chapter 2, there's been a discussion about what does it mean to be justified by faith. And if you've really been justified by faith, then it should be accompanied by good works. James is a lot about faith works. If you've got genuine faith, then you ought to be working it out. And one of the ways that we work out our faith is with our words. Ever thought about that? Typically, when we think about our works, we think about things that we do. But in James, not only does it include things that we do, but things that we say. Gen Z, God is listening. He's listening to you and what you say. He's listening to what you mutter under your breath. He's listening to what you say about your friends when they're not around. He's listening to what you say about your parents or about those in authority over you. And so everybody needs to be careful in what they say, but especially teachers. I mean, verse 1 is saying that teachers should be really, being a teacher ought to be reserved for a few. Not everybody's a teacher, right? Right? The word for a teacher here in verse 1 refers to a person who's functioning in an official teaching or even a preaching capacity, like that of a pastor or an elder. Again, not many of you should become teachers, he says. And so when we think about a teacher, I think about the credentials of an elder, right? That are shown in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And it talks about that man needs to have a desire. He who desires the work of an overseer, it's a fine work that he desires to do. And then it goes on to talk about the character qualities of a pastor, elder. And one of those character qualities, in addition to being above reproach, is that he's got to have ability. He's got to have the ability to teach. And so we know that not everybody's called to be a teacher. It's reserved for a select few when it comes to teaching the Bible. And we also know that there's an accountability of every teacher, right? A teacher is not held necessarily to a higher standard, but to a higher accountability. I mean, when I say he's not held to a higher standard, I'm just saying we're all called to be holy. Every Christian is called to the standard of being perfect. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 5:48, you therefore must be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. 1 Peter 1:16, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So I'm just saying to you, young man, we're all called to be perfect. We're all called to be holy, but teachers will specifically be judged with greater strictness because of their influence and what they say. And so this is more of a warning against false teachers and a caution to be faithful in your teaching. And that's why verse 2 acknowledges that everybody struggles with this. We all stumble in many ways, right? Teachers struggle. Gen Z young men stumble. We all stumble in many ways. And so it's just acknowledging that the challenge is here for us all. And that's why everyone needs Christ in order to control his words. I mean, the only way to be perfect is to be in Christ. And yet we are called to strive for perfection in what we say. And James is going to be talking about how this is impossible, at least in your own strength. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, I want to talk to you about how to tame the tongue from James chapter 3.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. You know what's fascinating about today's discussion? While everyone's wringing their hands about the kids these days, I'm seeing something incredible happening at the Masters University. See, most schools, they're desperately trying to stay relevant by compromising their values. And TMU, they're doing something radically different. They're doubling down on biblical truth. And guess what? It's working. If you've got a high school senior looking to go to college in the fall, let me tell you right now, there is no better place to look than TMU. You can get all the information right now at masters.edu/manhood. And speaking of excellence in communication, you know those moments when you say something and you immediately think, why in the world did I just say that? Paul David Tripp's War of Words doesn't just give you a bunch of communication tips. It's going to completely reframe how you think about every word that comes out of your mouth. This resource is available in the Fortis store right now at fortisinstitute.org. And if I can let you in on something pretty exciting, you know, Fortis Plus is out there. We talk about it all of the time. And I know what you're thinking. Yep, I don't need another app on my phone, Jimmy. But listen, this app is different. If you haven't given it an opportunity yet, it's completely free. First of all, you're never going to be asked to spend a dime for Fortis Plus. We don't have a subscription model, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of solid biblical audio and video content, content that matters, not just surface level stuff, but deep dives into real issues. And we just continue adding every single day. And look, I'm going to be really honest here. We changed our name to Fortis last year because we're done playing defense. The church needs strong, biblically grounded voices right now, and that's exactly what Fortis means. Strong, unwavering, resolute. We've assembled some of the sharpest minds in Christianity to help equip you and your church to stand firm in these challenging times. And here's my question for you. Would you consider joining us in this mission? Because your support as an ongoing monthly gospel partner is not just keeping some ministry afloat. It's helping fuel a movement to equip Christians with rock-solid biblical thinking for this cultural moment. Just head over to fortisinstitute.org right now and check out how you can be a part of this with us. Now, speaking of rock-solid biblical thinking, let's get back to one of those rock-solid biblical thinkers, Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood as we're talking about taming the tongue. So after exploring a few Gen Z common lingo words, we are now getting into the Bible and we're talking about teaching is a high accountability for people to be careful what they say, right? It's important for all of us, but especially teachers who need to learn to bridle their whole body. That's James 3:2. We got to bridle the whole body, right? You got to control everything about you. And so if you are a Christian today and you're listening up as a young man, faith works. It's what James 2 is all about. And one of the works that you need to be doing as a young man is you need to be controlling your tongue. You need to be taming the tongue and using it in a way to honor God, not just in the cool slang lingo that can sometimes be a lot of fun. But if you're not careful, you know how quickly we can fall into trouble by how we use our tongue. And so in James chapter 3, it talks about in verses 3 through 8, how to tame the tongue. And how it can even be a physical impossibility. Listen to what James says. He gives us three analogies for taming the tongue. The first one is, the tongue is like a bit. It's like a bit. Listen to what he says in James 3:3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. So this is where the tongue is used kind of in a positive analogy. This verse talks about how the tongue can be under control, and it can be under control in such a way that it can have a positive influence over the whole body. And so he equates that with a bit. I mean, imagine a bit. It's just a little piece of metal that you put into a horse's mouth, right? It might weigh just a couple of pounds, and yet a horse can weigh up to 1,000 pounds. If you've got a thoroughbred, a racehorse that can weigh 800 to 1,000 pounds, and yet a little bit that is placed inside of this large animal, you're able to then control this horse in their every move, where they go and what they do. And this is why David even said in Psalm 141, verse 3, he says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips." David knew how easy it is for our tongues to be used in ways that harm or that lead us down the wrong path. And so he's praying for God to set a guard over his mouth and keep watch over the door of his lips. I mean, oh, how we need to learn sometimes just to bite our tongues, right? There's just sometimes things shouldn't be said. And the manner in which the tongue sometimes gets out of hand can be illustrated by the conversation between two women in Brooklyn. Listen to this conversation. One said, "Tilly told me that you told her that secret I told you not to tell her." Uh-oh. The other replied, "She's a mean thing. I told Tilly not to tell you. I told her." The first speaker responded, "Well, I told Tilly I wouldn't tell you she told me, so don't tell her I did." I mean, guys, I don't know if you can keep up with that, but sometimes for women, and for us men, we can get involved in gossip. So guys, don't be a gossip, right? Speak the truth in love, but don't be using your tongue to tear down others. Psalm chapter 15, verses 2 and 3 says, "He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks the truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend." And it goes on to talk about he's the one who's worthy to ascend the hill of the Lord. In order to be right with God, we need justification by faith through the gospel. But if we're walking right with God, he cares about our words. He cares about what we say and how we say it. He cares about the fact that we wouldn't slander or do evil to our neighbor with our tongues, that we wouldn't take up a reproach against a friend. And so the first analogy, it's like a bit in a horse's mouth. And then James moves on to a second analogy about how the tongue has power for even positive direction when he talks about that the tongue is like a rudder. Verse 4 says, "Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and they are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs." So the tongue is like a rudder. It can be compared to the ship itself. And when you compare the rudder to the ship, the rudder is actually very small. I mean, it only weighs a fraction of the weight of the whole ship. For example, Queen Elizabeth. It's a ship docked in Long Beach, California, where you could take a tour on this incredible ship that was used by the British Navy, and it used to escort Queen Elizabeth all around the world. Well, that ship weighs 83,250 673 tons. And the rudder of that ship only weighed 140 tons. Now, that sounds like a lot. I know 140 tons, but in comparison with the 83,673, that comes out to be less than 0.2% of the total weight of that ship. And yet, when the rudder is turned, and if it's turned in the direction that the pilot wants to steer it, the whole ship has got to go in that direction. And it can do so against wind and against rain, as well as against cross currents. Translation, the tongue is very powerful. Just a small part of the body, but it can control everything that's coming out of you. And that's why Solomon warned David in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I'm warning you, Gen Z, be careful in what you say. Be careful in how you say it. Guys care too, right? When I was a kid, we used to taunt, well, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And it's not true, right? Words matter. And they can go a long way to really dampen a friendship or to even worse, to really hurt somebody. So we want to be careful how we are learning today about taming the tongue. So the tongue can be compared to a bit. It can be compared to a rudder. And the third analogy given here by James in verses 5 through 6 of James chapter 3 is that the tongue is like a fire. The tongue is like a fire. I mean, a fire can begin with just a small spark, and then it can burn down a whole forest. I mean, maybe you remember back in January, at the beginning of this year, those LA fires, the greatest fires we've had in the whole LA County, LA area, that just simply burned down thousands of structures and homes and hospitals and schools. It was a complete disaster. It kind of reminds me of another fire back at 8:30 p.m. on October the 8th, 1871. A fire reportedly started in Mrs. O'Leary's barn because of one of her cows that kicked over a small lantern. And the fire spread rapidly and burned the entire city of Chicago for 3 days. And it was finally contained. It had destroyed 17,500 buildings. It had killed 300 people, and it had left 125,000 people homeless. I don't know what the end of the LA fire will be like, but I think it's going to be something similar to the Chicago fire of 1871. We're just saying again, a small spark, just a little fire, can burn down a whole forest. In fact, Proverbs tells us a lot about the tongue being like a fire. Consider Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Proverbs 16:27. A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. Proverbs 26, verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Proverbs 26:21, a charcoal to hot embers and wood to a fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. So again, like charcoal and hot embers and wood to a fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. And so what we're saying again is something very small can make a very big difference in your life. And specifically, we're talking about the tongue. So guys, I want you to take some time today after we're listening to this show, and I just want you to examine what's going on with my speech. Maybe one way to do that would be to talk to a friend and say, hey man, am I speaking in ways that honor God? Or does my speech sometimes get away from me? I mean, I know as guys, we like to kid around and we like to joke and be sarcastic, but if you're not careful, your tongue could be used to be like a fire. Better yet, maybe talk to a mentor. If you're meeting with somebody to be discipled by them, you should ask your discipler, hey, what do you think about my tongue? Or best of all, talk to your parents. Ask your mom and dad, Hey, have you noticed with my speech, even in my cool Gen Z lingo, have I been tearing people down or have I been building people up? I want to teach you, young man, how to tame the tongue. And we're going to continue doing so from James chapter 3. Let me pray for you that you could do just that. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word from James chapter 3 that reminds us of the importance of taming the tongue. I pray for every young man in Gen Z listening today that you would help them to be careful how they speak, that they would speak truthful words to encourage and build up from the heart. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.